The Apostle Paul writes this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's where we're going to be camping out most of the time today. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Do you see how I'm asking for some help with shaping next week's sermon? There's just so many. It's verse after verse after verse. What do you need to hear? What do you need some more teaching on, okay? Let's keep going. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our series is The Real Deal. And this is what I want us to be talking about. What does it really look like to be a follower of Jesus? What does it really look like to be a Christian? And in our culture and in our world, especially sometimes it feels like in the West, it can start to feel fake. It can actually start to feel not real. And I just want us to look at and understand a little bit better, what does the real Christian life look like? And so this morning, if you're a believer, this message is for you. I'm guessing if you're not a believer, that this message would be helpful for you to think about kind of the life of Christianity and what that actually looks like. This morning, if maybe you're kind of coming from a different religion or some kind of different mindset or thinking, again, we're so glad you're here. And I hope it helps you as you think through some of these things about how even Christianity, because obviously I'm going to approach it from that perspective, but how Christianity kind of lays some of this out and really talk about the real deal. So let's say a prayer, and then we're going to dive into today's message. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds to receiving your word right now, not only in our ears, but also in our hearts. God, I pray for myself that you'd simply help me to almost kind of disappear up here. I mean, I'm going to always be here. I get that. But I mean, like, help me to just kind of slowly disappear so that we would just hear from you, God. You do your word. You speak to us, God, right now. Just use me as an instrument, as a mouthpiece for what you want us to hear this morning. God, calm my nerves and lead and guide me into the things that I've studied and prepared for us, Lord, your people. So help us with that this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, the other day, you remember the little Dwellers video, the little girl in the pink? That's my daughter, okay? That's one of my kids. My kids actually aren't here this morning. They're actually out in Oregon with my wife. And I got four kids, which is awesome. But I'm really missing them, by the way. And I'm starting to, like, lose weight. I'm getting nervous. I'm just kidding. But recently, I took my littlest one. Her name is Ember, and she's this little, she's like, I don't even know. I should probably know this, like 7 months old. I think she's like six, 7 months old. January 2nd, I think. No, yes, okay, we got a January 2nd back there. So January 2nd, my daughter was born, and the other day, I was just getting really tired, and she was just kind of annoying me. You know what I'm saying? Has that ever happened where just the little babies just kind of get it kind of annoying? And so I start rocking her, even though she wasn't super tired, and I knew that. I started rocking her anyway because I was like, I wanted some rest. Have you ever done that? This is so selfish. This is really embarrassing. But in all reality, I was just like, I really just want you to go to bed. You're not super tired, but I just want you to go to bed so that I can get some like rest. So I start rocking her, and I'm doing like, rock goodbye, baby. You know, I'm singing to her. I don't know. What do you do? I don't know. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just kind of, you know, bouncing her. I'm just like, come on, just go to bed. And she just starts twisting and turning. This is a six-month-old baby. And she just keeps, like, looking up at me. And, you know, like, I know she loves me because, you know, we provide for her and take care of her and stuff. But in that moment, you can see, like, this, like, she's despising me. Because I'm, like, rocking. I'm like, it's okay. Blah, blah, blah. And she's just not falling asleep, and she just keeps twisting. But then sometimes she'd actually start to kind of get, like, her little eye roll thing going. But then she'd, like, kind of rock herself, you know, kind of, like, twist herself awake again. And I was thinking, you know, as much as I know she probably knows I love her, she probably, like, hates me right now. Because here's Dad trying to get her to sleep. She's not that tired. I just am doing it for selfish reasons. And I'm trying to rock her to sleep, but she doesn't want it. She's just kind of like, but she's also like sometimes almost kind of falling asleep. Anyway, this is my simple point. As I'm thinking about this Romans 12 text, do not be conformed to this world. I was thinking, man, the world does this to us. The world, now I'm using myself as an illustration for essentially evil. Okay, hey, that's weird, but the world begins to, like, rock us to sleep. The world takes us sometimes in its hands and it starts, rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. You know, and it just rocks us nice and gently. And we begin to kind of, like, even though we maybe don't want to, and sometimes we're twisting and trying to stay away, like, we start to almost, like, close our eyes a little bit. And we start to fall asleep. And as I was thinking about this text, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the pattern. This word actually in the Greek would have like a, it has a pattern to it. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. This world, folks, is constantly trying to bend us to its will. It's constantly trying to bring us in to essentially think about things, life, the way it thinks about things. Our culture is constantly doing this. Last week I said it like this. Remember how I said our culture is so loud. It's constantly speaking to you. It's saying things to you. Whether it be billboards, TV, whether it be just our cult, whatever it might be, politics, it's constantly telling you this is how you are supposed to think. And as that happens, sometimes we actually start to kind of fall asleep. And we begin to just kind of drift off. And then, you know, Dad gets to do what he wanted to do. And he puts us down and we go to sleep. And I wonder this morning if there's some of us who have fallen asleep to our culture's leading. Now, here's what's really scary about this message today. If you take my kind of thinking, well, you're sleeping. So how are you able to kind of think about it? How are you able to kind of get out of it? If you're sleeping, you might not even know. You're kind of falling trapped to this kind of sleeping, dozing kind of thing, right? You might be asleep. How are you going to be able to kind of like wake up to our culture and what it's doing? Do not conform. Do not be conformed to this world. It's this gentle, lullaby, telling you how to think about things like end of life kinds of situations. Just kind of lullaby. Thinking about how am I supposed to think about violence as I watch things like on TV, or as my kids are in middle school, or as my kids are in preschool, or as my kids are in high school, or as I watch this movie. What is leading me to think about violence in such a way that we can actually come to a place now where we watch violent things with very little sensitivity. Very little sensitivity. It's just kind of they're just all dying. And it's just kind of it's just TV. It's just Hollywood. It's okay. And we just we're rock-a-bye baby. And we just slowly start to drift off in the direction that our culture would have us go. What else? I'm just thinking about some different things. I'm thinking about consumerism. Consumerism. Our world is constantly, our culture is constantly trying to get you to consume more. It focuses your attention on yourself so that you can just consume more. But then it teaches you to think about it in such a way that you can be still safe, because that's all you have to do is have somebody else that consumes just a little bit more. See what I'm saying? Then you're safe, because then it's just like, well, I don't consume as much as that person. And so then you're okay. That's another teaching of our culture, as it gently rocks you. Rock-a-bye, baby. It's okay. Just consume more. Just consume more. What makes you happy? Whatever makes you happy, you just lean into that thing. That's a teaching of our culture. That's a predominant teaching in our culture. As long as you're not hurting somebody else, then you just do you. You know what I'm saying? That's just a rocking. Some of us are in that this morning. I'm saying it out loud to maybe kind of just jostle just a little bit of something that might be in you. It could be endless things here that our culture is constantly teaching us. And as I was thinking about this kind of image of falling asleep, I went to Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the night that he's betrayed. And Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's walking over here, and Jesus is about to go through the hardest thing he's ever gone through. He's about to go to the cross, not just to die. Lots of people die, okay? He's about to go to suffer your hell. He's about to go to suffer your death. He's about to go to suffer your sin, what we talked about earlier. He's about to take all of that upon himself, rape, murder, all of it upon himself to the cross, to suffer that for you and for me. He's about to do that. He knows that. And he goes to the garden. He's like, I gotta pray. I need strength from the Father. And so he's in the garden, and he pulls some of his disciples aside. And what does he say to him? He says, I need you to be here. I need you to kind of just, I need to know that you're here with me. Would you please pray for me? And then he sits him there, and then he walks over here, and Jesus starts to pray. And what happens? He comes back over here, and then he's like, They're all sleeping. He wakes him up. He's like, hey, guys, you got to wake up. I need help right now. I need strength. I need prayer. Would you please pray for me? And so he walks over here, and then he starts praying, and he goes back over, and what happens? He finds him sleeping again. And he says, can you not watch for even just a little bit? And this is so powerful, because in Matthew 25, one chapter earlier, especially as he's setting up kind of this end times kind of theology, one of the key words Jesus teaches his disciples is, watch. Watch. Stay awake. Stay awake. Stay on your toes. Be looking. Be diligent. Be watching. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. See? And our culture slowly is sucking us in to conform to its pattern, to the way it thinks about things, to the way it does things. Conform. I went to the dentist this past week. I haven't been to the dentist in years. They got some new stuff. I'm serious. They really do. I'm not even kidding. They have some new stuff out there. There's some weird stuff too. Like the one is like you can get your teeth whitened now. Did you see that? That's a real thing. I'm sorry, because I know there's some of you that do this, but I'm just kind of like, what is our culture coming to? You can get like just painted teeth. I feel like that'd be kind of freaky to me. That's okay if you do that. That's okay. That's not you conforming to our culture problem. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Okay, that's not even where I'm going with this. But I have to have a crown done. And what they do to make this crown is they actually take some of this gunk and they pop it up in your tooth. I don't know. That's what I call it, gunk. And they popped it up in my tooth to form a mold. And then they pop that piece out after it hardens, and then they send that off to basically get a tooth to me. I don't know how it happens. If it's like some dead guy whose tooth I get, I don't know. I honestly don't know exactly what happens, but I'm getting a new tooth soon. I'm excited about it. And so me and Jimmy will be chewing stuff. I don't know. That's not how it works. But they're going to form a mold, right? And they're going to pop that new tooth up, and it's going to be according to the mold that it took. And so this is what he's talking about here. Don't conform to the mold or the pattern of the world. Origen, a second century theologian. Okay, second century, think about that. That's a long time ago. Origen, really an important theologian for us. He says this quote, "If there are those who love this present life and the things which are in the world, they are taken up with the form of the present age, and they pay no attention to what is not seen." That's powerful. See, some of us, this is a hard message because we're not paying attention, so we're kind of sleeping already. And we actually need to kind of be like woken up. We don't even pay attention when we fall in love with this world. We start to just kind of go down this path of maybe consumerism or letting culture just shape us and change us into the way it thinks and does things. See, what the Apostle Paul says here is, do not be conformed. Resist. Be vigilant. Wake up. Okay? Stay on your toes. Keep watching. Resist. But instead what he says is, be transformed. Now, when I hear this, I have to play this. Come on. You got it. You just have to. You just have to. Megatron. I love that. I seriously want to play it again. And just play it again. Like, Optimus Prime showing up on the scene is one of the coolest moments for me, like, in those movies. I just love it. Like, you know, like, the hair sticks up, and you're like, yes, he is here, right? Optimus Prime, like, this guy shows up as a semi-truck. Like, he's in this big tractor, and he shows up, and then he's like, and then he's into this robot. Be transformed. What's going on here? We got to sit, and we just got to camp out here for a little bit. Be transformed. Go, do the like Optimus Prime, like the Greek word here is actually metamorphose. So metamorphosis, okay? So like a little butterfly thing. Metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, we gotta think about this a little bit. Honestly, this past week, I have been thinking about this like nonstop. Be transformed. Don't be conformed to the image, to the pattern, to the mold of this world. But instead, what I want is I want you to be transformed. I want you to be transformed. Now, this word is phenomenal. First of all, it's a present tense verb. What this means is there's an ongoingness to it. It's present. It's happening. Okay? So I want it. There's transforming happening. It's present. It's not past. It's not like you were transformed. No, it's be transformed. I want you to go through transformation. I want you to go through some changes. So present tense is like it's happening right now. It's in our lives right now. Now, it's not just present tense. Now, this is kind of fascinating. This is kind of fascinating because it's also passive. It's also passive. So here we are, Okay? The actual, the voice of this is passive. So God is doing this. I think of 2 Corinthians. I want to take you here quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now watch this. Verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of Christ here. From one degree of glory to another. Now watch this. This is that passive side of things. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This comes from the Lord. So it's God who works this transformation in our lives. Now I'm kind of getting set up. I'm just setting you up for where I really want to go. Okay. So transformation is something that it's happening. It's going on. God is doing this. But then it's phenomenal because this is actually an imperative. So it's a passive imperative. Now, what does that mean? Some of you don't do English. I'm not very good at English either, okay? But it's an imperative, so there's like a command to this. It's kind of like, do this. Make this happen. You partner with this. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, this is incredible. For Christians to actually participate in our transformation. And this is where it almost gets a touch dangerous to preach this. Because what you can't think here is that, well, because see, here's the deal. Okay, let's just be really honest. Let's just push pause. Transformation oftentimes in a church setting like this is thought like this. We think there's people who aren't Christians and then they're supposed to be transformed so that then they are a Christian, right? So we talk about things like you're screwed and then you get Jesus and you're good. You know what I'm saying? You get to go to heaven. And then sometimes we start to think, well, that's it. And then everybody starts to kind of believe this. And even the believers in the room are kind of like, yeah, well, I was screwed over here, and now I get to go to heaven someday, and now it's just kind of done. And what we essentially do is we say, well, I'm done with that, and now the rest of my life is not in a transformative kind of place. Like, I was transformed one time a long time ago when I went from going over here, you know, not to a good place, to over here. Oh, I get to go to heaven, and that's it. And the rest of my life isn't in transformation. Listen. That is not what Paul is talking about here. You got to remember, we're in chapter 12. We're in chapter 12. He spent 11 chapters talking about the mercies of God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what I preached on last week. If you weren't here, you missed it. By the mercies of God. See, then we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Remember, I got up on the table, and I was just up there. We offer our whole lives as a living sacrifice, right? Not just our foot, okay? Not just our hand. We offer every aspect of our life up on the altar, and we say, transform me. Let me begin to participate with you in this transforming work. Now as a believer. Now as one who has the very Spirit of God inside of him at his baptism. Check this out. Follow me on this. Look at Romans. Okay, so just think about this. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Where does that word happen again? And you see, go back. You just jump back and just real quick word search. You'll be able to find this. Romans chapter 6. So six chapters earlier, this word's root pops up again. Watch this. Guys, this is exciting. This just gets me fired up. Thank you for letting me, this is truly, thank you for letting me have the opportunity to get to study and be able to just kind of bring you God's word in a studied kind of way. It's so exciting to get to do that. Thank you. Romans chapter 6, look at this. Verse 4. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness, renewal. There's the root word there, the newness of life. What does that look like? What does that mean? That means we go into the waters of baptism, where God does this incredible transformation, where we become a new creation. John 3, we come up out of the waters as this, it's a new birth. But then what? So that you might walk, okay, in newness of life. Your whole life is being transformed. And we actually begin to participate in this. We begin to stay awake, walking in life's renewal. God's doing this work, and as Christians, we actually begin to lean into this as well, and we begin to do what? As I was thinking about this, see, here's my point. Here's my point, and this is because I'll be honest with you. Verse 2 is just, it feels complex. It feels complex. But check this out. This renewal, this transformation in the life of a Christian doesn't just happen intrinsically. You don't just receive the Holy Spirit and then it's just, I'm going to sit on my couch and just let the Lord work. That's not how it works. And here's why I know that. Because if that's just how it worked, then the Apostle Paul would stop right here. And he would say, be transformed. God's going to do this. Sit on the couch and just, he's going to do it. What does he do? He moves into teaching. Here's what it looks like. And what does he do? Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Okay? Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient. The Apostle Paul is talking to Christians here. He is not talking even in this moment to unbelievers. He's not saying, you got to do all this stuff so that then the Lord loves you. No. In your baptisms, this renewal process begins, and God actually begins to renew in us, okay, our entire lives. He begins to transform us, and we get to be participant in it as we begin to follow in his teaching. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I'll be honest with you, that's confusing a little bit, maybe. But here's what all I'm trying to say. Let's just go to Romans 12 here quick and just finish out the verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. Now, that's actually, there's two verbs there, but it's actually one verb in the Greek. Okay? There's actually only one verb. But the point is to convey here in this translation is to convey there's purpose and result. So it's almost like the word prove. Well, what does it take to prove something? It takes some testing to then have discernment to prove it. So all I'm saying here is this. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the will of God? Say, everybody asks that question all the time, right? What is the will of God? Okay, this is the exciting part of the sermon, you know. When is he going to throw up the Batman movie clip next? What is the will of God? What is good, pleasing? Now, this is gonna hit some of you Christians in the room. I'm actually kind of talking to you right now. What is the will of God? Well, check this out. Chapter 7, verse 13. Already the Apostle Paul has kind of cued us up to this. When he says this of the law, he says this. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? What is he doing here? He's calling the law. What is the law? The commands. And I would even just kind of stretch it here just to make it a little more sense. The teachings of God's word, and very specifically the teachings of Jesus included in this. This is good. This is holy. See, Christians, sometimes Christians get sucked into this mindset of like, once I'm not going to hell, now I get to go to heaven. Now I'm done. I don't have to offer my whole life. No, be transformed. Your whole being. How? Following with the Spirit, you've been baptized into Christ already, with his Spirit working inside of you in a passive kind of way, moving to the imperative, which is commanding you to do what? To follow his teaching. And to not only listen to it, but to do it. This is why the Apostle Paul can't end where he ends. He has to move into like, but I know you guys won't fully get this, so I got to lay out the teaching on what that looks like. This is like Matthew, at the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus gets to the end and he says, go make disciples. How? By baptizing them and teaching them. To do what? To teach them what? To obey everything that I have commanded you. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that look like? You got to go study and learn about Jesus. You got to go listen to what he's telling you. And there's a whole lot of stuff in here that he's telling you. And so as Christians, we don't obey Jesus so that we get to go to heaven someday. We obey Jesus, who's already worked that incredible salvific grace in our lives. And now we get to walk in newness of life, resisting being conformed to the world, staying on our toes, following the teaching of Jesus. I mean, this is actually kind of common sense stuff. I mean, there's a sense in which it's kind of like, come on, folks. If Jesus... Here's really what it comes down to. Here's really what it comes down to. Believe, but I want to, in the sense of being conformed. Here's my question. Do you want to look like Jesus? Do you want to look like Jesus? So you go look at Jesus a little bit and just go check him out. If you don't really like what you see, you're not going to probably want to be a Christian. Because this is what the Christian life is. It's actually being transformed. Romans 8:29 talks about how Jesus is the firstborn among many. And we begin to look more and more like him in this world as we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. To do what? So that we can understand his will. Well, what's his will? It's actually his law, his teaching. And we get to walk in that. That's a good thing. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Will you make mistakes? Yeah. I mean, I feel like I always have to end every sermon with that. Yes, of course. But just listen to what Paul's telling you. Be good. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. Our culture is at work. Those of you who are believers in Jesus, I would challenge you to follow, to learn and follow the things that Jesus teaches, that the things that God's word spells out for us. Walk in that. It's good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. He will help you with this. If you don't know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, go to him in prayer and ask him for strength. If this morning you're almost a little nervous that you've fallen asleep in a particular area and you're like, I don't even know if I'm awake right now. You might need to spend some time in prayer. Lord, wake me up to some things that maybe I'm not aware of. And know that this morning, this transformative work can begin even today because of what Christ has done for you. And as that takes place, that begins to transform us in such a way. And I just love this, how Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What it'll actually start to look like is you'll start to actually begin to look to other people. You look to God and you look to other people. May the Lord bless you guys. This is what the real Christian life looks like. It's not perfect. It includes mistakes. It includes broken. It includes, I get it. But this is what it looks like. Start following Jesus. It's real.